Hey guys, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. This is Supergirl Season 3, Episode 3, Far From the Tree. Get ready for some daddy issues.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for hitting us one more time, baby. I'm your host, Tari J. Miller.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Wanger. Good to be back with you all. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Stephanie Wanger.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And you can find me at Tari J, TARIJAY. Guys, this was a really intense episode. I was expecting it to be real jaunty, and then it was all feels.
Well, it had a completely different tone than the first two episodes of the season. So yeah. The first two episodes felt very light, and there was a lot of comedic moments, I'll say. Mm-hmm. And this certainly didn't do that. It was a little darker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing, is this song was pretty well one of the few light moments. And that's one thing I really love about Supergirl, is that it is sort of on the lighter side. But I thought this was still a good episode because I love John. So yeah. I'm like, anytime we get a little bit of Martian Manhunter, why not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I liked this episode. I think that my preference is to keep Supergirl a little lighter, have her fight someone, but like, you do need that emotional depth, and that's the way they do it on this show, is they tend to have these episodes that are a little bit meatier in terms of the emotion.
Yeah, and I also liked that they essentially had one main through line, and it was connecting with one's father. So we had the Sanvers relationship kind of circling around Maggie's relationship with her family, because we get her real dark backstory.
Yeah, that was, I mean, a big surprise. I felt like I knew some of her backstory already, and I wasn't expecting it to be that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that she'd been abandoned like that, especially at 14. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, I mean, you know, how deep her family's issues go, and you're like, wow. That sucks.
And I hope that they continue to discuss those in the episodes to come. I hope it's not a one-off. I really do want to kind of, like, we peel back the layers and we talk about it all the time on the show of all these other characters. And I feel like Maggie now, all I want to do is understand more of this backstory.
Right. And so just kind of going through the steps of it, I mean, she did take the plunge and invite her dad to her bridal shower. And it was okay for a while. Like, he was
It was okay
awkward.
For moments. Yeah. Like, he greeted her, said hello to Alex, and within, I don't know, a minute or two, it seemed like it was all blowing up.
Well, I mean, it was because of the, he didn't want to see them kissing and stuff. He's real scared of kissing.
Yeah, and that was the thing, is like, what did he really expect? And what did he expect to gain from going there? And that was the thing that I was very confused by. I mean, if it were reversed and she was in his position of, you know, seeing a parent, it would have been a little bit understandable, because the positions are reversed. You don't know how to see your parent. But when it's a child, and like, you know, now they're this adult, they're this child you've abandoned. God, yeah, I'm going with the chat here. Everybody's like, Maggie's dad sucks. Their family belongs in hell. And okay. It is a little, like, I mean, like, that's a little extreme. But still, it's like, yeah, what did he expect? And how?
Yeah,
I was surprised that, I know that this is like a typical TV story, but if he was going to show up as a father, you would assume that he was ready to accept her. Like, why come to that party if you just wanted to have... That's not the place to have that kind of discussion.
Yeah, and too, you knew she was marrying a woman. It's not like that she lied or anything.
Yeah, so my thoughts on it, though, are that you could tell, and I think what I like about Supergirl in general, and I think I've said this before, is how realistic it portrays its characters. And you get this idea that this father really wants to be involved in his daughter's life, but he can't get over the hump of her homosexuality. And so, like, he like, you can see him trying to take those steps, like when he's talking about how he follows all her cases and he's like keeping up with what she's doing, but it's just this one little piece that he can't push through.
Yeah, and it is so sad because you do see those steps, him knowing what she did and being impressed by Alex being a federal agent, the having the picture. There were all those nice moments. I think that's what made it so much more heartbreaking when he really still couldn't accept her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want it. I know that that's not how the real world works. Things take time and families are very complicated, but I wanted for her to have that moment, that resolution with her dad. And instead you see her, of course, give that photo back and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And Ivan Soto brings up a good point. She hates her father, but followed in his footsteps. That's strange. Well, not necessarily. I mean, there's not that big of a difference between a radio DJ and a podcaster. I'll leave it at that.
Like, Google it.
Let's just say there's not that big of a difference. Sometimes you realize that and then drink later.
I think that she seems to, somewhere deep down, still respect some of her father's choices. Because I think she even says in the episode to Alex something along the lines of, like, he had a complicated life, or it was, like, a hard life. And so I think she does have some level of respect, even though he abandoned her, and she obviously doesn't respect that decision.
Yeah, because him talking about how hard he worked, you know, coming from Mexico and being a Mexican immigrant amongst a bunch of, you know, as he put it, like, white boys who would make fun of him and call him racial slurs, and he worked so hard to be their sheriff, like, you at least could respect the fact that he worked hard, so I guess that's why I can understand Maggie's dad, at least.
I mean, well, yes, I think that is the one thing that you I guess in a way you sympathize or empathize with, in that his whole motivation was that he didn't want his daughter to be marginalized, and he didn't want her to have any additional obstacles beyond the ones that comes with her skin color.
Right.
But then it comes the part where, you know, parents are human and they make mistakes, and he didn't know how to handle this one additional piece of her personality. And if he can't accept that, he obviously can't accept any of her, which is the biggest issue with his line of thinking.
Yeah, I mean, you hear of these stories time and time again. They're, you know, something that is certainly prevalent in the real world, but you hope that, like, as we've all changed as, I guess, a nation, a world, what have you, that, like, these people would come around. And that's, you know, and I think they did a really nice job of portraying a realistic struggle as a parent.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I know that it was really heart-wrenching when Maggie kind of talked to her dad at the end and gave the picture back, but I felt like it was a really affirming moment for her, where she's finally able to move on and go, the ball's in your court. I've become the best version of myself that I can be. If you can't accept me, I have all these people in my life that do.
Yeah, and I can see that, you know, she's fully ready to be who she is, right? She has the support system, all these people accept her, and she's like, I don't need you if you can't accept who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, it felt like a weird way of, I don't want to say closing a door, but certainly it was pushing him further away.
Right.
Yeah, and I felt like this was probably it. I mean, with this relationship, at least for now, it seemed very final that, you know, and that it was a good point for Maggie to kind of be like, I'm glad that I had that moment, because now she knows, I mean, you know, the people sadly don't change. I mean, yeah.
I mean, and there was so much ambiguity before this moment where essentially from the moment she was abandoned, she had no idea what they were feeling, what their perspective is, if that time had changed them.
Right.
And she got her confirmation that only a little bit, just a tiny bit. But I don't feel like this is the end of the father storyline.
I don't either. I think it will kind of loop back, or there will be repercussions or feelings left over for her in dealing with the wedding and the kids' situation, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Yeah.
I think that it's going to have a lot of effect on her life, at the very least.
Yeah, and whether she believes it at that time or not, this probably does have to do with her decision not to want to be a mother. And, like, that's, and I don't feel like Alex is going to let that go, because when you want that, that's what you want.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and I feel like that's where this will come back in.
Well, you always talk about, like, in relationships, there are things that are essentially deal breakers. Mm-hmm. And certainly, I think kids, wanting kids, that's not something that you can really, it's kind of you either have them or you don't. There's not really a huge compromise in that. Like,
puppies.
Puppies. You're right, puppies. so I think it's really going to be, and we've now, this is the second episode it's been brought up in. I think it's going to be something that plays out this season.
Yeah. I also like the idea of, as you guys know, I'm a big, big old representation nut. And I like the idea of, you don't often see characters who are just like, hey, I don't want to have kids and I'm fine with that. Like, I imagine my life being happy without them. And I imagine us, our relationship itself being enough. And I like that because it's not a perspective that I feel like I see a lot. It's always this whole thing, especially in media, where once you're married, the next step is having kids, and you're not fulfilled, and you're not a full person unless you're married with the kid and the picket fence and the dog and the whatever other pearl necklace.
Yep. Yeah, that's a dirty thing, Tari.
Is it? No. It's a piece of string covered in carbon made by
From
oysters.
Executive producers Maria Menounos.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, guys. It was a dirty thing. Yep. Turns out it was a dirty thing.
I mean, I can explain it, but let's not have that happen again.
Yeah, yeah. There okay, I'm sorry. I will never mention it again.
oh, wait. Yeah, exactly. You know, some people don't want to have kids. And yeah.
No, I think that it's also something that you're seeing more in real life. Certainly people in their 20s and 30s, that's something that certainly I know friends and, you know, whatever, who have kind of been debating that. Like, are kids for me? Am I just happy in this relationship? And I think that's... you know, something that's really interesting to see portrayed on network television.
Yeah. So, speaking of kids, hello, my children.
Mm-hmm.
How are you? How are you guys doing? Are you enjoying this podcast? Are you enjoying watching us on YouTube? Well, the best way to help us keep doing both of those things, YouTube and iTunes and
SoundCloud,
Stitcher, all the things, is if you... like what you're seeing, you give the thumbs up on YouTube, you leave comments and star ratings on iTunes. That really helps us get to the top of the chart, helps other people find us, helps this show grow and be the best show. It also helps Lex get out of that time vortex he's in. It's really sad. He hasn't gotten enough 5-star ratings, so he can't get out of the vortex. And it's a bummer. I miss that guy.
I mean, these 5-star reviews keep Lex alive and in this time period.
It's true.
You know, it's something he lives on.
And we all want him to return.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not enough to just clap your hands and wish him there. You gotta just take 30 seconds. It only takes 30 seconds to leave a 5-star rating and tell us what you love, or just tell us that you want Lex back and how much you love Stephanie, and then that will be enough to pull him from that time vortex.
Yes. But you have to mention how much you love Stephanie.
Yes, of course. Yeah. It's important.
Lex cares.
Yeah. Because if you just say that you want Lex back, he'll be like, oh no, I don't want that burden. But, like, you also mentioned how much you love Stephanie. And it has to be genuine. We'll know.
yeah, because this feels super genuine, guys.
No, it's the genuinest. Then he'll be like, oh, yeah, I got to make sure I'm on a show with Stephanie because she's dope.
Mm-hmm.
Lucretia, do we have anything? Is there any hope for Lex?
No, there is no hope for Lex at this moment in time.
Oh, he's still in the wind.
Yeah. Well, we like reading all the comments, though, so keep commenting.
That's yes. true.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. All right, Stephanie. I guess I'll get back to the show.
I feel like it's time.
What are you trying to say? I'm out of this world.
What?
Cue Mars in talk segue. Okay. Guys, I think this is the most Martian effects that we've gotten this whole show.
Yeah.
And I love it.
There were little baby Martians.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think that this was the most heavy effects episode so far this season.
Yeah. We got a bunch of white Martians. We got the two green Martians. We got a transforming car, which I want so bad. Mm-hmm. I like need that car in my life. But
yeah, it's alas. Super cool.
Yeah.
Also, the sets were amazing.
Oh yeah.
I thought really like detailed, incredible sets for Mars, which mm-hmm. is impressive.
Yeah. Something my roommate pointed out, which made me laugh, is that the Martians can turn into anyone and they can make themselves look like anything. But the white Martian resistance chooses to be people in rags, and it really makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Anyways.
Like, you wouldn't want sexier clothes.
Yeah, they're just all in bikinis and Speedos. They're like, is this not how humans dress? Ha ha!
They're just like The Rock. Like, everyone is The Rock. Yes. That's what they should all be.
Oh my gosh, we've seen this on your Earth television. But speaking of the resistance, apparently the white Martians, the bad ones, have found this spear. And the only one who knows where it is John's father.
Played by Carl Lumley, who is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out who it was at first.
Yeah, like, I actually just did a quick IMDb because I was like, that was Carl Lumley, right? Because he'd lost a lot of weight. Like, you could tell. He looked good because I was like, man, he looks younger. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
And he did such a good job because there was a lot of... There was a lot of nuance that needed to happen in these scenes, especially between him and John, where John is essentially trying to convince him that he is his son, and he's been tortured for 2 centuries, and so he's like, I ain't gonna fall for them tricks. I ain't gonna tell you where the things are. I ain't gonna do this. And so,
exactly like that.
That's how it was, right? Yeah. Stephanie agrees. and so it's really like heartbreaking where John, after so many years of believing his father is dead, gets to see him face to face, and he's like, "You're not my son. My son wouldn't run away." Oh my gosh, yeah. More daddy issues. Oh my gosh, I'm so sad. But yeah, I mean, what did you guys think of this reunion?
Yeah, I loved it because it was so like, ow, when he's like, "My son wouldn't have run away." I'm like, oh, because I love John so much. But this was a good episode. And Panther 7 points out, which, you know, Carl Lumley is most known for voicing Martian Manhunter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah.
Good little nod there.
Yeah.
Our chat is on it with the fun facts. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first, when he first spoke, I was like, I know this voice.
Yeah.
Who is this?
Incredible.
Yeah. But also, we got a really ambitious dude who really wanted to break John's dad's mind. I believe his name was like T'Pol. Mm-hmm. And he had his own little arc this episode.
Yeah.
Where he was like, ugh, I'm part of the resistance. And then by the end, he's like, hey, John, I respect you. I'm like a younger you. Oh, man, we're great.
I like a fast arc. That was like, that was in 20 minutes, we had a resolution.
Yeah, that's how you got to do it. That's how human, or that's how Martian arcs happen.
Yeah. I thought it was very quick, but I appreciate it.
I also you had mentioned the Martian babies. I really liked the scene where John is finally able to convince his father that he's the real deal by sharing this memory that they had together, where essentially the father had come early to John's house and the kids kept a secret, and it was so adorable because they're running around their old house.
I thought it was just one of the sweetest parts of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so cute. I'm like, oh, little alien babies.
So, I mean, I feel like it resolved pretty nicely. We got a little more of a view into the, like, what's going on Mars between the Resistance and the white Martians. But it feels like we're not going to be getting any Magan back anytime soon.
I know. I was sad because I think they're so cute.
I know.
I'm all about John getting some love.
Yeah. But I do respect that, like, they both have their own things going yeah. on. And if they need to, they can meet in their minds and be like, yo, this is our mind space.
Yeah, it's kind of like phone sex, but, like, with Martians.
Yeah, it's yeah. way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's, like, photonic. Mm-mm. Nope, I can't. No. Nope. All right, it was almost there.
It was like telepathic Tinder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, damn, that was yeah. so much better. Why aren't I so good at
skills?
This is why Lucretia's here.
Yeah. Because I have mad skills.
But yeah, and so now we have a full-time Martian Manhunter dad on Earth. Which is really nice.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
And that opens up, I just feel like, a huge amount of stories for the rest of the season.
Yeah, yeah. Because John is usually the father figure to everybody. Mm-hmm. And so now we get to see him sort of take a back seat and sort of maybe learn from his own dad.
Do we think that his father will stay? I'm considering him relatively good at this point. I don't. It's hard. That's a hard statement to make. Do we think that he'll transition into being not so good?
I mean, I don't know what you think, Lucretia. I have a thought.
I hope that he stays good, but yeah.
I think he'll stay good. Yeah. I think that there might be other issues that arise. I mean, he has essentially been, as they said, tortured for 200 years. So there's a chance that, like, once he's in a calmer environment, he will start suffering from, like, PTSD.
Right.
And you have to deal with, like, what does that look like in a Martian?
Because, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if it's not that, like, maybe something like dementia. Like, I feel like there's going to be something bigger where John has to deal with his father now being in his life, and his father is going to be some kind of
burden, but
I wasn't gonna say burden, obstacle.
I think it's gonna be an adjustment, nice certainly way. For yes. him to have this father figure back in his life and still have the responsibilities that he does at work. And how do you balance all of this at once? And I think that's gonna be interesting. And maybe Kara can help him with that. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like we're getting into some predictions, so I'm going to cue that sweet, sweet lighting and sound effects. Boop, 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 boop.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions. We weren't able to watch the next episode preview, so guys, this got to be straight off the dome. You got to tell me what you think is going to happen next episode, rest of the season. Tell me what you got.
It's a tough one, this one, because it's not a one-off episode, but it certainly is like a break from what they typically do on this show. So it's tough to predict what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I mean, and I know we were talking about Alex and Maggie and, you know, the possible wedding. Yay or nay? Do you think there's even going to be a wedding? I don't think so. We all know that Floriana Lima is no longer a series regular. And, you know, the chat was pretty well like, yeah, they're not even going to get down the aisle. So.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a struggle there, certainly. I'm also interested to see kind of what happens with Supergirl. This was a very not Supergirl-centric episode, and I'm interested kind of to get back to her existence at the paper, I guess Kara's existence at the paper, and what kind of happens in her love life as well.
Yeah. I want there to be a wedding because I want this episode to be the first step in us getting this moment where the father overcomes his fear and his bigotry and essentially decides to walk Maggie down the aisle.
Oh, mm-hmm. I would love to see a wedding. I just realistically feel like
it's going to happen, guys.
It's going to be a rough road, I think, to get there. If there is a wedding, I think it's going to have some ups and downs before we see that.
And I honestly thought we would see this wedding, except when the crossover was announced, that it would be Barry and Iris's wedding.
Uh-huh.
It's like, yeah, they're not going to do two weddings.
Double wedding?
Oh, yeah, that'd
well,
be good.
Well, I think if this wedding were to happen, it doesn't have to be in a crossover. Like, certainly Barry and Iris have been building up for a very long time, if you watch The Flash.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, it'll be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I already talked about my Martian Manhunter theory. So if you guys have anything else, let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to wrap this baby up.
Go for it.
Put it in a bow. All right. Dope. Cue that beautiful bean music. Hey, guys. Thank you for joining us here on AfterBuzz TV. I really am glad to have had you. Make sure to join us every Monday at 10 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time, soon to Pacific Standard Time, here on AfterBuzz TV on YouTube and also on iTunes. I am Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's T-U-R-I-J-A-Y. You can also find me on mine and the Lex Michaels podcast called Missing Out. We did an episode recently with Lucretia Lyon. We have an episode coming out tomorrow, so subscribe, check your feeds. It is Wes Craven's New Nightmare, yeah. I had to remember, with special guest Dave Child. You guys love him, so make sure to check it out. Missing Out.
And you can find me at Stephanie Wanger all over the internet.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And if you miss Lex Michael like I do, Lex Michael, I, and Happy Go Jackie, Frank Moran himself, with that ironic nickname, will be at LA Comic Con doing a live version of our show on Book Circle Online, which you should totally watch. Called the Comic Book Exchange. What am I saying with this? Yes, go watch us. 4 p.m. Saturday, L.A. Convention Center.
Hell yeah. Once again, thank you for joining us. Take care, and we'll see you next week. Have a super time. Bye.
Close like bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.